You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Using opinions or other opinions.
Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlin's ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds can be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Oh, please don't do anything that these stupid ass people do in the podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show. Don't forget to click that like, subscribe, follow, you know the drill, wherever you watch, wherever you listen, and thank you so much for your support. What's up, everybody? It's Sharna with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. I want to first and foremost give a thank you to the fantabulous Booth brothers, Christopher St. Booth and Philip Adrian Booth. Thank you guys so much for doing this interview with me. This is a pre-recorded interview, and I would like to let everybody know that it was very awesome to sit down with these two busy guys and get all the information I got from them. I cannot wait to get them back on the show, and I hope you enjoy it.
Previously on Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
To the point, we had worked, for people don't know, we had worked for the Playboy entertainment industry in Europe. We were a band on stage in a club. That was about the whole extent of that scene. When we were in a movie, we were a rock band.
Yeah,
a rock band. We were never in it. Just because we're in the movie as a band in the club, that's about it. It was an image of a little girl blurred, standing right in front of the camera. True story. And you can see all those stories on The Unseen, which is on our YouTube channel, too. I was editing the film, and it sounds like someone dragging a bed, an iron bed, across the floor. I didn't jump. I felt like I was pushed.
What is up, everybody? I am so sorry it has taken so long to get part two out to you guys. It has been a hellacious last couple of weeks. But without further ado, here is part two of the Booth Brothers.
Group everywhere, they kept that boy in the original Exodus story. And that was quite a journey. And when Zach said, he has the number one haunted attraction
in America.
In America and in Vegas, people should have the ability to go and see this.
Yes.
You know, we make horror movies, and those are two of the keyest props of a horror movie, Emily Rose or The Exorcist.
Right?
And we've done all we can do with it. And it seems silly for us now not to let other people be able to see something like that. So it was the right fit at the right time, you know?
You know, Zach was, to me, the perfect one because he had the most power for you to be able to see it from now on at a reasonable price, because I know he charges for the museum, which is fine, overhead stuff, but he was excited about it, and he was very respectful. He was very nice. We talked many times before we decided on the situation, and he told me what he wanted to do, and it sounded great. He said, I'm doing a new exorcist exhibit down there in my room. So he made a whole new room for us. We're going to go in there. The lights are dark. And you're going to go in there. The doors are going to close. And then the lights dim off. And you see the exorcism box of Alex McKell with her voice.
That recording.
Recording of Alex. And then the exorcist diary. And then this clips and audio videos of the history that we talk about. And it's featured as, you know, kind of like the exorcist exhibit. You know, started by us, but, you know, done really well by Zach Bagans. So I thought it was the perfect thing. There's a few people who mentioned, oh, I don't know about that. And I'm going, well, it's the perfect thing because now anybody we're talking about right now can go there and see it.
Well, not only some of the things you have that are like that he's got that are dark and dangerous, that he can keep in a safe place, whereas... if anybody just lets it go or lets it get handed down.
You know, somebody mentioned, why don't you take it to the Lorraine Warrens? When was the last time you visited the Warrens Museum? Is it even open?
I didn't know it was open. I never knew about it.
It's so more personal. This is, you know, I mean, Zach has, you know, the James Dean's axle he got from Porsche. Mm. You know that he died in. He's got Ed Gein's, you know, this and whatever. He's got that. And I said, dude, you know, this is what we should do. And he agreed. And we both got excited about it. And then it hit TMZ. You know? And I think the main thing was to all time it around the release of The Exorcist, you know, because it came out last week. Yeah. And the TMZ article came out, and we want to be very thankful and very grateful for all our fans and our new fans, because it put Exorcist file on the top.
And I also want to say, a lot of people pulled down people saying that, you know, in the media in general, that, oh my God, the self-serving or whatever.
We must always remember that the media is the one who writes the headlines, not the artist. Like, you know, so sometimes the artist has a tendency to come across all full of himself or whatever, but it's really the media that drives the, you know, the bait and taglines, and they write those lines, not the people that are trying to tell the story, because they feel, you know, viewers are going to attach themselves. So there's a lot of, you know, misconception and attacks on people then when they don't really have the say on what they're promoting, you know, and how to promote.
Well, watching people for a long time too on TV, you can tell the difference in their demeanor from the time they start to the time that you can tell they're either tired or they've just seen too much and they're trying to just stay sane.
And also just stay alive, because in the film, in the TV business, you could be canceled or fired tomorrow for whatever. You say what you believe and you're canceled. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously the wrong things, I get that, you know, but I'm saying, you know, everything seems to be wrong now. Unless you're completely a robot. But I think
I'm far from that.
And that thing, we're very honored that Zach has it. And anybody that wants to see the real exorcism box of Emily Rose and the real exorcist diary, go to Las Vegas and go check it out. And anybody wants to see the story behind it, watch our film, The Attached.
Yeah. You know, and what's your new film coming out? What's your new film coming out?
Oh, we should talk about Never Blink. Never Blink. Well, first of all, Never Blink.
Can you see it right there?
Is it's based on true concepts of, for instance, when you blink and you just blink. the time is about 0.10 seconds that you blink. If you add that throughout the day, that's 48 minutes you blink. And if you notice when you do that tenth of a blink, you kind of go, I can see it right now when I do it, kind of go into the darkness when you blink, right? Yeah. But your mind fills in the gap so you don't lose your balance. That's part of how it works. But if you could really see what's in that darkness, especially 48 minutes that you're missing, it'd be scary as hell. Yeah. And that's what we show you in our film, Never Blink, what it's like to see what you're missing.
It's based on a real scientific fact that the mind fills in that gap, but that's an artificial image because it only fills in what you saw before. So you don't see this going on in blank. Yeah. So in the film, they create a pair of helmet and goggles to record what you actually see in those gaps. And it stitches them all together. So it's a really, really cool, unique, fresh idea.
There's a really dark creature in there.
I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited.
And then so it's been nominated at quite a few film festivals, most recently the Scarefest Film Festival, who are a great family to us. We always love doing Scarefest because they treat us so well and we have so many fans. I mean, when we did Death Tunnel, I think that's Kentucky. So Lexington has been like a huge fan base.
So it's October 20th at 9 o'clock, which is a Friday night. And we're doing the screening for the film festival. You have to have Scarefest tickets to see it. And we're giving away a pair of those cool glasses.
I have it in my promo.
Those glasses we're giving away and some other things. And then we get a lot of autographed posters.
And what's exciting is this is going to be anybody who's a horror fan. And this is the coolest film that we've made. It's the most ambitious film we've ever made. This is the only time you're going to be able to really see it at a festival screening because it's at the American Film Mod and it's with our agents. And we're not allowed to sell the DVDs or put it out. We'll have to do festivals. So this is a real treat for horror moviegoers because this is the only time you're going to be able to see it.
At least until it's released.
It's been, we've been asked to keep it. Mum's the word. We can't do it. That's why people ask me, what's the new film? Well, because when you market your film, it's got to be a brand new film and they want to keep the lid on it until they put this big marketing campaign behind it. So, but you guys can do festivals. So that's what we're able to do. So it's a real treat for people that have been waiting to see it. Well, Scarefest has a lot this year. They have a lot of great stars. They have David Arquette. They have Dylan McGovern. We have a lot of stars.
But y'all are going to be at Scarefest. Where else are y'all going to be? Because I know you got one in November coming up too.
Michigan, which is Justin's show. Incredible show. We did it last year. It's such a success that they made it two nights this year. So it's actually for two nights this year. I think it's Friday, Saturday, and beginning of the part of Sunday.
I think it's November 4th and 5th, isn't it?
Somewhere around there. Just that weekend or whatever. And Mid-Michigan's going to be great. And we're going to have a lot of, our stuff, our Spook TV swag, DVDs, posters, books. I'm an author as well, so I have a lot of my books. And then also the Haunted Bazaar, which is another entity of what we do, is going to have voodoo doll, real voodoo dolls.
Oh, and the scariest book.
Some really scary stuff. Do you want me to get them? Yeah, if you can get them. I might fall, though. Yeah. I got a living room full of stuff that's going on the auction, which is the end of the Halloween weekend, so it's the 26th to the 29th, I believe.
Sweet. Yeah, the 29th is on a Monday. No, Sunday.
No, it's Thursday. It's Thursday to Sunday. It's the 26th to 29th of this month. And it's a Facebook auction online.
Show that real quick.
This is his book he counts with, but this is it's a beautiful. You might want to see his whole thing.
Look at him.
He's tall. He's big, dude.
He is tall. Wow.
He is really old. He's so precious. He's right from the 30s.
He looks almost just like the one from
I do get close.
Don't speak. What is it?
Dead Silence.
That's it.
Yeah. Not from Dead Silence. I'm my own person. Excuse me.
Now, do you feel anything off of him?
Well, he's that one. Actually, I have about seven more. That one I won't sell because he's my. I had a psychic come over here and told me that he was my guardian angel. And he watches me watch TV and he laughs and stuff. So I won't sell him. I have an quite a few like him, because I can't keep them all. But ones that I, you know, find at estate sales or people that pass and they lock them in trunks. That three of them are found locked in a trunk with their hands taped and them. Sorry, the hands tied and the mouth taped.
Oh, that tells you something right there.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I'm into that kind of intrigue, and I go by my gut feeling, you know. Interesting because there was something else I had that I got rid of. There was a suitcase that was full of possessions belonged to a mental patient who checked himself in because he said he was the reincarnation of the devil and he was possessed. And I got his suitcase, and when I opened his suitcase from the Victorian era, an old suitcase, inside it was two dolls. One of them was totally mutilated, and he wanted to make it what he thought he looked like. So he mutilated the doll. He didn't look like that, but he thought in his own mind he looked like this doll, and he mutilated the doll. And then what's really scary, he had a scrapbook, and in the scrapbook he had his teeth in there, and hair, and then voodoo spells. And then as it got near the end, it was graphic drawings of a spiral, a vortex. And at the end, there was clear picture that he drew of a djinn. And then that had really, really bad energy. So I was able to, I think Catherine from the Haunted Hill House, who owns that Hill House, got it from me. And she says it has caused nothing but incredible, I mean, good for her place, but incredible, trickstery all over her house since they got it. She sent me pictures of some very strange things they caught in the mirror, evil looking people. And so Christie's also sold it. Was a crucifix to the ghost busting, what they call themselves? Huge article.
No, in London.
I forgot what he's, Museum of Horrors. I believe it's Southampton, England. I can't remember. If you're watching this, you can correct me on the name. But it's Museum of Horrors, and he took this exorcism box that I got from a priest and put it in his thing, and they did a live investigation, and it hit the news over there because during the investigation, the cross snapped in half. And it's made out of metal. I mean, there's no way that would have happened in any way. I have other ones here, and you can't break them. I mean, you can break them, but you know, you got to really, you know, this thing just right on camera. And the news coverage all over, I think Page Six and the other Daily Mail there in England covered it. But great stuff for Halloween, but you know, you just got to be kind of like, it's cool stuff. And if you're into that, which I am, it's cool to have, you know. I'm just not much of a collector. And I also believe if you let things go, more things come into your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I think it's interesting because people go, oh, God, you do all these movies and you write all these scripts and you have all these objects around. And yet we're pretty light people, you know, we're pretty like down to earth, like, because we're like the Monty Python. We're like the Monty Python of ghost hunt. Because I think that I know you agree with this. This goes with any industry. You should not become obsessed with anything. And there are people that are in the paranormal that are truly obsessed with it. And we shouldn't be obsessed with death. We should be obsessed with living, whether that's helping someone cross over or helping someone who's still living from
if you're going to dwell on
celebrate life, you know, the human spirit, not the death spirit. So there's a mixture there that you got to find balance, because everybody says, well, don't you bring home attachments? You talk about, you do movies on this stuff. And I think not really, only the darker ones like The Exorcist Bio, which is The Exorcist Die, which is the other thing that Zach acquired from us. Mm-hmm. He got the copy of The Exorcist Diary. And I know that I posted the story yesterday or the day before on Facebook about what happened to me in the hotel room where I got attacked. And then also when we bought the diary to use it as a script for the documentary,
the house became very dark. There were shadows everywhere, and the feeling of oppression and suicidal depression, oppression started happening. I remember just as of yesterday, we had that rose garden in the front. I had to go out there and stare at flowers to believe there was something more than just darkness, because it got really dark.
I mean, you see, though, what's interesting is because if our kids came up today and said, hey, I'm possessed, you say, okay, well, you watch that movie and that movie. There's so many. If you watch Exorcist Believer, you watch this. But in 1949, when that diary was, I have to be clear, it's actually a journal of the exorcism. 14 priests witnessed that exorcism, and they wrote down everything he said and did and happened and how the process was. And what's fascinating is, if you're a big Exorcist fan, yes, there was scratches in the attic. That's in the diary. The Ouija board is real. They actually conjured up it's Captain Howdy in The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. They was contacting his dad, Ann.
Tilly.
In the real diary. So it's a fascinating, and we should let people know you can get that book.
Yeah, I transcribed the
real
transcript,
the real journal
into a book. So those who don't have, a lot of people already have the book. So if you don't have the book and you want to read the true story on the Exorcist, it's on SpookTV.com.
And then we made the movie from
it, called The Exorcist Diary. And it's pretty, it took me 3 months to read the diary because it's just really heavy. Because everything that happened to Reagan, which was a girl, Linda Blair, almost everything happened to Ronald.
It's funny because we talked to the great niece of Father Bowden, that Max von Sydow played that character. And she would say, it's so great to watch the documentary. She goes, he'd come home after the exorcism, but after 6 of them, he lost 40 pounds in weight, the priest himself. And she watched the deterioration of him and what was happening. And it's fascinating to talk to the real relatives. We actually talked to the sister of the haunted boy
and the boy's ex-wife.
Wow.
And listening and saying, did you know that your husband is the real exorcist boy? And she goes, that explains everything.
And I don't know, and okay. Then the fact that he became a NASA scientist.
Wow, very smart boy.
He invented the
yes or no, because there's a theory here. He did patents with NASA, and he was the one who developed the heat shields on the moon unit that landed on the moon. And coming through space, you don't burn up. So he developed the concept that you're not burning up when you go to space. So here's this guy that was possessed, got exercised, and became a NASA scientist. Yay. Or what happens? He was possessed and that exorcism did work, and he went ahead and became a NASA scientist to create something to go into space and cause nuclear war.
That's true. That is
really true. I mean, there's too many ways to look at this, but it's an interesting concept.
I mean, it's such a fascinating to have that physical copy of the diary. Mm-hmm. Because what I started saying, if the kids said they were possessed, well, in 1949, what was he watching to be influenced? If you want to write it off as mental, what is it? How do you mean? What do you want to write it off as, mental illness in 1949?
Well, in the movie, I think, and also in the, I did some music, because I do music videos, it showed everything that was on television that would have influenced him in 1949. And that was the beginning of the A-bomb.
Yeah.
That's when the A-bomb was first released. And the only, because it was a very a pornographic situation with him, very racy, because whatever happened to Reagan, you saw in that movie, it was a boy that was doing it.
Oh my
God. So the concept of all kinds of.
He pulled a mattress spring out of the mattress in the diary, and he attacked the priest
and cut his arm open.
He drew a map to hell on his sheets. And
Betty Page was the big thing.
So the thing is,
you think of what, this kid, if he's making it up, was he watching? People get influenced to make up stories, but there was no internet back in 1949. So how was he watching? Was he seeing? So we did a study on that. And again, it was the A-bomb. It was Betty Page. It was other things like that. Howdy Doody was a big thing. So I don't know. This
that was way before that. My time, just so you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what Howdy Doody is.
I know what Howdy Doody is only because I've researched it. That's it.
Yeah. Good one. Good comment. Yeah.
I mean, just fascinating. What I love about what we do is that's probably the main thing. It's a fascination of finding out, like, real quickly, like when we did the Possess, which is on Amazon, and it's about children that get, or teens coming of age getting possessed. What do they have in common to prove that what similarity is in possession? And they are, and none of them met each other or knew each other, so they were interviewed separately, so their answers couldn't, you know, match. Mm-hmm. So it was like they all lived in dark places, like they all wanted to move their bedrooms to the basement or garages or somewhere dark and damp. They loved that.
They all cut themselves.
They all were bleeders. They were cutters. Some of them ripped their skin totally off their arms. There were all lived in very, and I'm not saying that death metals, you know, causes possession, but they like to listen to death time metal. That really, they went into that. And then I said, well, when you go to hurt yourself, or some of them wanted to kill their parents,
oh, God.
What overcame them? And they said, well, when we did that, this is what really made me blown away, is they all, and remember, not all these people met or knew each other at all. They were not interviewed in the same area. They were separately different states. They said that they heard the sound of marching drums, the sound of an army, the sound of a trumpet when they felt like they were getting possessed violently.
Wow.
And that's really weird. And then I realized that was not the strangest thing, because in the 1949 diary of the exorcist, it states when Ronald, the boy, possessed boy, was going into a possession, he said he heard the sound of marching drums, the sound of an army, the sound of trumpets. That was written in 1949. Our interviews were done in 2009.
Wow. Yeah, I none really of those kids would have seen that.
Could have read that.
And you know, of course, the marching of an army is a legion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rome, you know,
and in the Bible, it talks about when they're fighting legion of the army, God will have the sound of army, the sound of drums, the sound of a trumpet. It says that in the Bible. But so now it's open for interpretation. Is that a warning from the spiritual side that the devil's coming to make an army? Or is that the sound of the devil coming? Or is it the sound of God alerting a trumpet? Beware, put up your shields, the devil's coming. Open for interpretation, but fascinating, still the
it
same.
It is, right? Fascinating. Oh my God.
And this is really the stuff that horror movies are made of. And I think what's great, it's all true, though. Halloween, incredibly, because we all love to be scared, is this, there was nothing scarier than the true stories. And I think that's
definitely
why we've been very successful in what we do, because we tell the true stories. Like, a lot of people don't realize that whole exorcist story was 100% real, and it wasn't made up. It wasn't fiction. It was, You know, William Blatty got a copy of that diary, and he gave it to Friedkin to make the movie. And Blatty wrote the book from that diary. And you got to understand, even if the boy, because we, in our documentary, we do have the, I guess, debunking side of it, or the, he was mentally ill. Definitely, that's the first approach you really should take. Anybody that says it possessed, 90% of people that are possessed are mentally ill, not possessed. Only 10% aren't possessed. So the boy, if he was making it up for attention, and I do believe the boy was, back in 1949, being a homosexual, was really, really difficult. And he was, meanwhile, the diary reads is he was, you know, that, and the priest, it says the priest took advantage of him. Mm. He had stayed in the bed for a month, I mean, with the priest. It's just really weird where it goes. And I'm going to leave it open for interpretation. You guys can read the truth and figure out what you get out of it. But one thing that asked questions about and could not be proven wrong is the boy literally floated.
Yeah.
He had epilepsy. He was violent. That's why they put him in the St. Louis election for this hospital. But he floated. One of the orders saying, well, that ain't epilepsy, dude. He's floating.
know, and these things have really happened. And when you watch the X's file, you'll see the devil sheets, what the boy told, what the devil told him to write on the sheets. We show you the sheets of what he wrote that the devil told him to do, including a map of hell. We got to talk to the movers who moved the furniture, the actual bed, the desk, and the little pew that the priest sat at when he was doing the journal. Uh-huh. And the priests and the nuns would refuse to go to the room at anymore. So they sent the movers in there, and they just thought, hey, what's regular furniture? We actually talked to the movers who moved it. Wow. And they said, what we don't understand is they asked us to double crate it, double contain it with a metal covering, and they shipped it off to Scott's Air Force Base, the military compound.
Where it remains to cold storage.
Now, that's kind of weird, huh? It was like, yeah, lady, there's a lot of milk or something. But that's the truth.
Are they afraid of the furniture? Or do, you know, again, being devil's advocate, are they afraid of the furniture, or just do they want the world to feel that you should be afraid of the furniture, so it creates religion still being strong with a spiritual fight against the devil?
Now we're going to be right back after this brief break.
Are you looking for a supernatural radio show that is informative and fun? A show with topics such as ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic energy, spirits, cryptids, and more, hosted by paranormal investigators with years of investigations under their belts? Then look no further than The Calling 2.0, powered by the Sim Crew, hosted by paranormal investigator Jerry and psychic medium Valentina, along with others. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey everybody, it's Angel Ray. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Shauna. She is going to be having a new podcast. Sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait to be a guest on there myself. It's called Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. And you can catch her on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time on Para-X Radio Network.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
From the author of the Ghost of Hollywood series and Workplace Spells comes a book for all lovers of pets, Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. Learn how to choose your next pet according to their astrological sign. Explore animal superstitions. Learn 25 magic spells for your pets and get instructions on creating your own spells. Learn who to call upon and what to use to cast these spells. Include special chapters by Reverend Tim Shaw, Psychic to the Stars Kenny Kingston, Psychic Medium Victoria Gross, Animal Communicator Dinah Roseberry, and Shaman Willie Windwalker Gibson. This is the perfect book for all animal lovers. Animal Spells and Magic by Marla Brooks. For details on how to get your copy of this amazing new book, go to www.schifferbooks.com or check out Marla Brooks online at www.marlabrooks.com. This would make the perfect gift for the animal lover in your life. Go to www.schifferbooks.com or ask about it at your local bookstore.
I'm sure you're wondering why you received this tape from a random stranger.
What was that?
What?
I heard something.
Like what?
Like a gunshot.
But is it really random? Am I really a stranger? Or are we connected in some way? To a web of lies and deceit? Possibly murder?
I'm sorry about our argument the other day. I'd like to make it up to you. in your office. I've been such a bad girl. I need you to correct me.
Okay. I'll unlock the door.
Hello, Ben! How are you?
You see, I hear things, see things. I know everything. To protect myself, I need these stories to be told.
Blood Noir is a crime and horror anthology show. Stories about people caught in desperate times and only have one way out.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They crawl all over your dirty snout, your chest.
My name is David Walton. I am a vocal performer for What Are You Afraid Of? Horror and Paranormal Show. And I have carried the burden of a terrible secret. I am actually what is offensively called a ghost. For years now, I have concealed my ectoplasmic existence from my friends and family, in fear of a common prejudice against ghosts, or what we like to call the disembodied. I have existed frightened of being discovered, unable to do physical acts that the embodied take for granted, such as walking a squirrel, or drinking a glass of vitamin E milk fresh squeezed from a whale. I grew depressed and even considered acts of self-harm or reincarnation, which is suicide for the disembodied. Such movies as Ghostbusters and its sequels drove my feelings of disenfranchisement, and I began looking for help, only to encounter painful exorcisms in the houses I haunted. Then, I met two good people, it says here, Fox and Phil, at What Are You Afraid Of? Horror and Paranormal. And they helped me take control of my own life. Now, it is my choice whether I wish to make phantom bangs in the night, appear at the foot of your bed in darkness, or make your walls bleed. If you are a disembodied person like I am, and you're living a lie, What Are You Afraid Of? Can help you too. They are on at 9 p.m. on Friday nights at Para X Radio, leaving plenty of time for midnight haunting activities, and can be found on all major podcast services. Listen to their paranormal stories, interviews, humorous sketches and horror fiction to know that you are not alone. And if you are a member of the embodied, don't forget, you are only a single heart attack or tumour away from becoming one of us. This is David Walton. See you on the other side. Or as I call it, this side.
And that is the end of a perfect day.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
Hey, I told you we're going to be right back. Wasn't that long, right? Right?
Want the world to feel that you should be afraid of the furniture, so it creates religion still being strong with a spiritual fight against the devil.
Oh,
because you know, we all know religion, yeah. A lot of it is monetary gain for, yeah, you know, religion. And but without the devil, there is no God, so you have to have both. So every now and then, you got to throw in, well, if you don't believe in God, this is going to happen to you, you know. So it's right. Open for interpretation, but I tell you, the things that we do cannot deny are the things. When you see people floating, when you see people talking Latin, you've never learned Latin, yeah, you know, things like that, or you have super strength. These are the, yeah, six things of possession: being able to talk in different languages, being strong, foretelling the future, seeing
talking to the priest who was actually there before he passed. He was like 95, who actually will look you in the eyes and tell you that he had superhuman strength. He became manic and he threw Bowden and the objects across the room with his mind. You have to ask yourself if that priest is lying. But you know, when you're looking at somebody, you can tell if they're embellishing the truth. You can tell they're lying. This guy's just saying it as a matter of fact. And, you know, whether you believe it or not, but I'm telling you, that's what makes
we interview a 90-year-old priest, God bless, he's passed now. We interviewed two priests in the Exorcist file that was actually involved in the Exorcist case. They were the demonologists, which is really cool. And then God bless them, they both have passed. They were very old when we interviewed them. Actually, one of them was very ill, but he just says, you know, a 90-year-old guy, he goes, yeah, they saw him throw the, you know, an inkwell across the room at me. And it's like, oh my God, this is, you know, really cool that we were at the honor to interview you and get the truth out there. It's funny, because when we were filming him and we'd ask him, so do you believe in the devil? You know, we were just throwing random questions at the end of the interview. He started having a coughing fit. I don't want to laugh, but I remember at the time I looked at Greg Myers, I love Greg, and we just looked at what? He started like this.
Oh, my God. I'm
right after we asked him that. And I didn't know we got some water, and I don't know if like that was just coincidence. But to those experiences, like, oh, my God. Yeah. He was living at the... St. Francis,
Seminary.
St. Francis, which is where
we went in there. It was like really gloomy. There's this priest.
They actually did that
one. Really charming, you know, full head of hair, very handsome, but old Maximus Sadow priest, and wheeled them across the street into the St. Francis Church where they did the baptism of the boy, which he had by them, and filmed them and asked them these intense questions. It was a really good documentary. You know, it really is.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Y'all have given me an hour and a half of your time, and I so appreciate it, because I love hearing these stories from you guys. I will definitely have to get you on again later next season.
Yeah. I'll cut this up into multiple parts or whatever.
A mini series.
Can totally do that. No problem. Yeah. But y'all have a lot those two. Things. Oh yeah, you do, and I need all those stories. I want all those stories. So yeah, good. I'll definitely get y'all back, because I know y'all have some plans on doing some stuff next year, and I'll keep in contact with you guys on those. But you have Scarefest, the end of this month, or the 20th, right? The 20th.
Then after that is the haunted auction, which is a face. If you go to Facebook and type in the Haunted Bazaar, you'll see the event happening on the October 26th and 29th. Then after that, in November, we're doing Mid-Michigan for 2 days, which we'll have some, you know, haunted items there as well. So, but we're talking this year, that's right. We're speaking.
Sweet.
Yeah, and then it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time, so break. Brave, yeah. I understand that.
And I'll just wrap up. I'll say that all these movies, which is Dead Still, Dark Place, Children of the Grave, The Exorcist File, The Haunted Boy, The Possessed, The Attached, Spook, and Soul Catcher, are all on Amazon. These two are coming in a month, but most of them are now on Amazon Prime, Tubi, and Apple TV. And don't forget to go to our YouTube channel, which is Spook TV at YouTube, because that is full of creepy content for Halloween. Anybody who hasn't been there, you can just live there. It's so cool. We have us talking about the things. We go to the real places. We do the interviews. We have clips from our movies. There's 121 videos up there to watch. And I want to thank you to the 14,000 subscribers this week, and to the many, many views that we're getting. And we really appreciate it. We'll hope that you love the channel, and we're getting great feedback on it.
Well, I love the channel. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. It's always awesome to see you. Thank you for being on
my
show.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You're beautiful as always. I appreciate it.
Thank
you so much.
Bye,
Tom.
Bye.
See you later. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
And that concludes my interview with the Booth Brothers. Wonderful,
glorious fantabulous guys. Love them so much. Known them for a few years, and I am so happy they agreed to be on my show. It was amazing. They have a lot more stories to tell, and I'm so excited to get them back next season for those stories. So stay tuned. You never know when they're going to be here. Thank you guys so much for listening in, and I do apologize that it's taken a while to get this out there. I know some of the dates are probably off, and I do apologize for that. They are amazing fellas. Keep a lookout for them. They go to a lot of conventions. Speaking of, I have the Pythian Castle coming up this Friday night. If you want to tune in, go to www.kick.com/geeksparanormal. Again, it's www.kick.com/geeksparanormal. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Oh, and if you can't get it on Kick, twitch.tv/geeksparanormal. Thank you guys so much again for supporting the channel and for supporting Para X Radio Network. Bye, y'all. I know this part two was a little short, so I'm adding some music at the end. So continue listening for some awesome, awesome tunes from some metal makers. Thank you guys so much. You have a wonderful rest of your week.